भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टुकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text Number 53. Chapter is Maharaj Nimi meets the nine Yogendras. Tribhuvana Vibhava Hetave Api Akuntha Smritir Ajitatma सुरादिभिर् विमग्रयात् न चलति भगवत् पदारविन्दा लव निमेषार्धम् अपि यः स वैष्णवाग्र्यः त्रिभुवन विभव हेतवपि अकुंठ स्मृतिरजितात्मसुरादिभिर्विमिग्रया न चलति भगवत्पदारविन्दा लवनिमा निमिषार्धमपि यः स वैष्णवाग्रहया त्रिभुवन विभव हेतवे अपि अकुंठा स्मृतिरजितात्म सुरादिभिर्विमिग्र्या न चलति भगवत् पदारविन्दा लवनिमिषार्धम् अपि यः स वैष्णवाग्र्या त्रिभुवन विभव हेतवे अपि अकुंठा स्मृतिरजितात्म सुरादिभिर्विमिग्र्या न चलति भगवत्पदारविन्दा लवनिमिषार्धमपि यः स वैष्णवाग्र्या
Matajis. A
of the three worlds comprising the material universe. Vibhavahetave. For the sake of the opulences. Api. Even. Akunta smritihi. Whose ignorance is undisturbed. Ajitatma. Of whom the unconquerable Lord is the very soul. Suradadibhi. By the demigods and others. Vimgriyat. Which are sought. Nachalati. He does not go away. Bhagavat. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Padarvindat. From the lotus feet. Lava. Of 8/45 of 1 second. Nimesha. Or of 3 times that. Ardham. 1/2. Api. Even. Yaha. Who. Saha. He. Vaishnava Agriyaha. The foremost of the devotees of Lord Vishnu. Translation and purport by the disciples of Abhay Charanarvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are sought even by the greatest of demigods such as Brahma and Shiva, who have all accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their life and soul. A pure devotee of the Lord can never forget those lotus feet in any circumstance. He will not give up his shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord for a single moment, indeed not for half a moment, even in exchange for the benediction of ruling and enjoying the opulence of the entire universe. Such a devotee of the Lord is to be considered the best of the Vaishnavas. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, one may ask, if one were able to gain the opulence of the entire universe in exchange for leaving the lotus feet, Lord's lotus feet, for just half a moment, what would be the harm in leaving the Lord's lotus feet for such an insignificant amount of time? The answer is given by the word Akunta Smriti. It is simply impossible for a pure devotee to forget the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead, since everything that exists is in fact an expansion of the Supreme Lord. Since nothing is separate from the Supreme Lord, a pure devotee of the Lord cannot think of anything but the Lord. Nor can a pure devotee contemplate ruling or enjoying universal opulence, even if given all the opulence of the universe. He would immediately offer it at the lotus feet of the Lord and return to his position of a humble servant of the Lord. The words Ajitatma Suradi Bhir Vimbrigyat are very significant in this verse. Lotus feet of Lord Krishna are so opulent that even the lords of all material opulence, namely Brahma and Shiva, as well as the other demigods, are always searching for a glimpse of the Lord's lotus feet. The word Vimbrigyat indicates that the demigods are not actually able to see the lotus feet of the Lord, but are endeavoring to see them. An example of this is given in the 10th canto when Lord Brahma offers prayers of Vishnu, begging the Lord to rectify the disturbances on the earth. A similar verse is found elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11:14:14. Na parmeshtyam na mahendra deshnyam na sarvabhaumam na rasadhipatyam na yoga siddhir apunar bhavam va mai arpitat me cheti mad vinanyat. The devotee who has offered his soul to me does not want anything if it is separate from me, not the position of the supreme demigod of the universe Brahma, nor that of Lord Indra, nor kingship over the entire earth or the lower planetary systems, nor the mystic perfections of yoga, nor even freedom from the cycle of rebirth. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakri Thakur, the word Ajitatma can also be taken to be Ajitendriya, or those whose senses are uncontrolled. although they're demigods, are all to be respected as devotees of Lord Vishnu, the absence of gross mental discomfort in the higher planetary systems makes them tend to become affected by the bodily concept of life, and sometimes they experience some spiritual difficulty due to the gorgeous material facilities available to them. Such disturbances, however, cannot exist in the mind of a pure devotee of the Lord, as indicated in this verse by the word Akunta Smriti. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we can understand from this verse that since none of the material facilities available in any of the universal planetary systems can distract a pure devotee of the Lord, such a devotee can never possibly fall or become inimical to Lord's service. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschadade Shatarine. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishe Namaha. Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Tribhuvana Vibhava Hetave Api Akunta Smritir Ajitatma Suradibhir Vimrgyat Na Chalati Bhagavat Padarvinda Lava Nimishardham Api Yaha Na Vaishnavakriha. The lotus feet of the Lord, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are sought even by the greatest of demigods such as Brahma and Shiva, and who have all accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a life and soul. A pure devotee of the Lord can never forget those lotus feet in any circumstance. He will not give up his shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord for a single moment. Indeed, not for half a moment, even in exchange for the benediction of ruling and enjoying the opulence of the entire universe. Such a devotee of the Lord is to be considered the best of the Vaishnavas. Maharaj Nimi is hearing the wonderful instructions from the Navayogendras one by one, and the qualifications of who is considered the best of the Vaishnava is explained. And this is very significant, as explained here by the words Tribhuvana Vibhava Hetave. That means someone who is will not leave the lotus feet of the Lord for the opulence of the three worlds. And the alankar is given, that what is a moment, how much is a moment. Lava, Nimisha and Ardham. Explaining here that even of the 8/45 of 1 second. Can you imagine that timing span? 8/45. That means, I think so, 8/45. How much is that, approximately? Around 0.2? 0.18? How much is that? 8/45. 0.0? 0.02? Or 0.01? 8. This is the division given. So this is the details of what is the heart of the devotee representing. This is the time span that one can go lowest in calculation. Lava, Nimesha, Ardha. So what will be the intensity if this is the remembrance of that devotee? One can gauge. One can only gauge the expanse of a tree when one knows not what is the crown of how far it is spread wide above. The indication that the tree is very magnanimous is decided by how deep the roots are. Not just deep the roots are, but how spread the roots are. Depth gives the access to purity, the access to life, the water, the jal, the jala tattva, and the width gives access to stability. So in the life of a dedicated Vaishnava, there has to be both. There has to be depth and there has to be width. Only when there is depth and the width in proper balance, then the tree can grow to give shelter. Either the tree will be very tall and expansive because the roots are gone deep, but in case of difficulties in times of storms, the tree won't survive. The tree's branches will break, the tree's trunk may crack, and probably it might get uprooted. So what is that width? What is that expanse? That expanse is sarva bhuta hite ratha. The tree will survive and nourish itself by going deep, but actually it will only do good to itself when it also spreads wide by thinking about the welfare of all the living entities. And therefore, this is so important. Who is a devotee who is very dear to Krishna? Someone who has developed this quality of sarva bhuta hite ratha, and also one who always remembers the Lord without deviation in love. So today we'll explain, or we'll try to enumerate some of the tests of what Yudhishthira Maharaj went through from the Mahabharata of Vyasa, and we'll explain how a devotee, a Vaishnava, has these qualities where there is depth and there is width, where there is purity and where there is stability, or where there is contribution, compassion. So these are the four tests what Yudhishthira Maharaj actually went through, without even he knowing that these were coming. The first is when actually Yudhishthira Maharaj was and the Pandavas, all of them were banished to the forest, and while going to the forest, all the Brahmanas and the Praja also followed Yudhishthira Maharaj, saying that we would not be able to survive in this kingdom where there is a ruler like Duryodhan and assistants like Dushasan and Karna. Why? Because their excessive greed, because of their duplicity, and because of their mean-mindedness, we also will continue to suffer in their rule. We would rather live in the forest with pious ruler like you than to live in an opulent kingdom ruled by a tyrant like Duryodhan. So important to know that the praja also has to be buddhiman. It is not that the king has to be dharmaparayan, but the praja also has to be having buddhi to follow a dharmaparayan king. And the praja does not see what wealth, opulence and power the king has, what position that king has got. That position does not determine, it is the character that defines, the qualities that define whom to follow. And therefore, the praja, including the Brahmins, they suggested that we rather live with you than live in the rule of Duryodhan. We will live without opulence, we will live without facilities, but we want to live with truth. We want to live with goodness of a great self like you. Because where there is vidwan, where there is jati, and where there is karma, where there is vidya, where there is good kula, where there is pure vidya, where there is good kula, and where there is good karma, there is where we are supposed to attach our association. These three things are important. Therefore, one has to purify oneself by jnanam, by vidya, and then have a great lineage to represent, and therefore to do good karma. So first comes the knowledge, then comes the responsibility, and then comes the action. Action doesn't come without knowledge and accountability, or responsibility. Therefore, that action which is rooted in vidya and jati, and jati does not mean caste, jati means lineage, kula. And therefore, we always find Krishna addressing Arjuna as Partha, Bharat, always indicating to his kula. And therefore, Yudhishthira Maharaj was requested by all the Brahmins to give shelter. But Yudhishthira Maharaj was himself in great shoka. And the Brahmanas thought, it is not good to do anything with any person unless that person comes out of that shoka. And therefore they start explaining that there are physical and there are mental disturbances which create the shoka. And therefore one should first eliminate those in order that a person becomes stable to experience spiritual association or spiritual vibrations. Therefore, because of a person's mind being disturbed, one cannot actually execute even the process of sadhana bhakti. Therefore, why there are so many yam and niyam? In the process of yoga, there are many yam and niyam, and they are only meant for someone to reach that stability of that mind which is transparent, clear and free of disturbance. Someone's physical self is completely in disarray. All the doshas and the prana are in total mess. Such a person's mind will be affected, and such a person's affected mind will not allow it to focus on Narayan or Vishnu. And therefore, first the Brahmanas speak about how the mind affects the body, and therefore they say that the cause of mind disturbance is asakti. And asakti creates unrestricted sense indulgence. And because of them, the senses become more agitated. And when they become more agitated, they agitate and disturb the mind more. Therefore, the Brahmanas explained that cause of attachment is wealth, is position. And therefore, the more wealth and position one gets, one becomes more and more attached and becomes fearful of losing it. And they explain the dangers of acquiring wealth, troubles of maintaining it, and the fear of losing it. And in such a way, Yudhishthira Maharaj is pacified. But when Yudhishthira Maharaj explains that, now these are the Brahmanas who explained this knowledge to Yudhishthira Maharaj, but now Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying that that dharma which brings artha, and that artha which actually complements dharma, has not to be neglected. Artha is required to even make dharma meaningful, and therefore one should not neglect artha. But once artha should not come in the way of dharma, and therefore the scriptures prescribe honesty and truthfulness in acquiring means of livelihood. Without doing so, one will create sources of disturbance for the mind while acquiring artha. It will become unarthak. So therefore, this explanation is given by Yudhishthira Maharaj, and still he is not pacified, because his concern is not the loss of his wealth. His concern is, these Brahmanas are following me, better go back. There are Yudhishthira, there is Vidura, there are Bhishma, Dronacharya, they will take care of you. I cannot support you Brahmanas, because I have no opulence with me, I have no wealth with me. How will I support all of you? How will I give food to all of you? How will I give anna to all of you? So therefore, the Brahmanas are willing to sacrifice even that, but Yudhishthira Maharaj is feeling the pity, the self-pity, that he is not able to support these Brahmanas. Therefore, even without adhikar, even without the facilities, ashray, there is still the feeling of responsibility. So a person in spiritual life never becomes helpless. Why? A person knows that there is the power of God, this power of Krishna within that Atma, and not only that, there are all the support that Krishna has given in the form of the Vedas. So if there is sankalpa and there is vidya, then a person cannot be nirashray. A person will actually get ashray. Ashray only comes when sankalpa and vidya combine together. And therefore, then Yudhishthira Maharaj asks Dhaumya Rishi, how do I actually feed these Brahmins? What should I do? And Dhaumya Rishi gives things for a while and remembers, at the beginning of the creation, Surya, there was a similar situation where there was lack of anna in the creation. So then, in the Uttarayan Gati, Surya took the resources in one place and then gave them in the Dakshinayan state. He gave all the prosperity in the form of rains. So Surya, or when we chant the Gayatri Mantra, it's actually invocation to Surya. It is said, if you want putram, dhanam, annam and manashanti, one should worship Surya. One will get all of that. Why? Because the Surya has the capacity to extract and to supply. He said, you worship Surya Dev and he will supply you with the facility of providing anna. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj performs the sankalpa of pleasing by going through tapasya. Sankalpa requires tapasya, and vidya requires vinay. How do you access sankalpa? Sankalpa is by tapasya, by voluntary foregoing all our comfort zones and actually stepping into a rigid discipline by a proper sadhana. So therefore, sadhana bhakti has yam and niyam. Yam are the principles and niyam are the rules which are made to execute those principles. The niyam may always change. Why? Because the niyam are the adaptation of the principles in time, place, desh, kal and patra. Niyam cannot be regularized, but the principles have to be eternalized. They have to be intoned. Why? Because they cannot be changed. And that's how one sankalpa, when backed with tapasya, and when one vidya backed by vinay, then comes the karma, then comes the yoga. That is yoga. That is the connection with divine. Divine doesn't come Divine connection doesn't come by either by vidya or either by sankalpa. It has to come by both. And therefore, that bhakti generated actually the blessings of Surya and gave that copper vessel in which Surya said that you can, this patra will feed you for 12 years. And at the beginning of the 14th year, you will regain your kingdom. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj's first test was that even being helpless, he still wanted to do his duty, wanted to follow. And actually not doing one's duty is actually forgetfulness of Krishna. Dharma, doing one's dharma reminds one of Krishna. And when one forgoes that dharma, one becomes filled with abject depression and helplessness. And therefore, when one actually follows the path of dharma properly, guided by Vinaya, guided by Vidya, and deriving sankalpa from within, one develops this competence. The competence to remember Krishna comes by the combination of sankalpa and Vidya. And this is the first test which Yudhishthira Maharaj passed. Being in a state of depression and helplessness, he could still do his duty. He did not ask for excuse or exemption just because he himself was in a difficult state. And therefore, most of the time when you say Bharat Mamite Manushya Janma Hoila Ja Janma Sarthak Kari Kar Paropkar, it is together. Kar Paropkar will develop your Sarthakta, and your Sarthakta has to contribute for Paropkar. It doesn't happen one after another. Srila Prabhupada was once asked by his disciples, Prabhupada, how will we be able to do this? Can we really spread this Krishna consciousness movement when we are not perfect? Prabhupada said that just be on this boat and execute your duties with enthusiasm, intelligence and patience. And things will happen in due course of time. But we do not know how this happens. It happens by combination of both. So therefore there is integral understanding of dharma and bhakti. They are very, very closely connected, and therefore the next test that took place was in Dvaitavan, when they were actually traveling and they were again affected by hunger and thirst. So there is where the crane comes and asks questions on that lake, and then Yaksha comes and in the dharma in the guise of Yaksha. And here, after answering, that is first of all not losing patience, and secondly being very composed, Yudhishthira Maharaj in all humility answered all the questions. He didn't want to judge, he didn't want to immediately come to a conclusion. So he followed patiently, and thereafter when dharma revealed that he was Yamraj and he was testing, so he said, I am very happy, I am pleased to give you any benediction. And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, you can bring any two of your brothers alive, one of your brothers alive. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj was thinking, whom do I choose? And there he chose Sahadev. And then he asked, why not Arjun, why not Bhim? They are your assets. When in Ek Chakra, when Bhim was going to going with that cartload of grains, and Kunti took that unanimous decision to send Bhim to save that family of Brahman, that time Yudhishthira objected, why did you take that decision? Because Bhim is very critical for our victory against Duryodhan. And here the same Yudhishthira Maharaj is denying that I do not want Bhim, I want Sahadev to be revived. And he says, why? He said, because both sons of Madri as well as Kunti will be represented, and that's why my duty that the sons of Madri also get representation and get their legacy. It is not about my opportunity, it is the proper representation. Therefore Yudhishthira Maharaj follows dharma. And Manu Samhita explains very clearly that dharma means which gives equal opportunities for everybody, which gives equal facilities for everybody. And equality is in that form. Equal opportunity, equal representation. And that is dharma. So very nicely Yudhishthira Maharaj went over this test, that how dharma represents equality. Where in one case it was helplessness and he still wanted to do his duty. In that situation with sankalpa and vidya he overcame that. And here with the knowledge and with the determination that by doing this, by representing equality, he will actually prosper. And that is most important. Equal representation. Third test was later when we talk about that how tribhuvana vibhava hetave. Here a little bit of Bali Maharaj very much suits this situation. But tribhuvana vibhava hetave, where he actually gave up all the three worlds. And Bali Maharaj gave the three worlds on the premise that a Brahman was actually begging. Yudhishthira Maharaj actually was thinking how to do his duty towards the Brahmanas. So what is Brahman actually? Why so much emphasis for Brahman? Namo Brahmane Devaya. Namo Brahmane Devaya. Go Brahman Yutaya cha. Why again Brahmanas and cows all the time? Why is Krishna emphasizing Brahmans again and again? Because they are custodians of Vedas. And Vedas actually give the light to mankind. So much important. Many times we have heard and we have seen some information on a village in India which is speaking Sanskrit. A Sanskrit speaking village. This is in Karnataka, Mattur. And many of people say that actually this is all imaginary, there is nothing like that. So in that village there are Brahmanas, I'm told, that when they live in abject poverty, but their dedication to spread Vedic knowledge is so great that they will teach Vedas and all the Upanishads and all their, there are shakas, each one has one branch and they just stick to that branch and then teach in that sequence. Many people will come to stay there, they will stay there, they will learn and they will actually become learned and they will do, they are expert in doing yajna, they are expert in doing various vidhis and they are only teaching, their only goal is to spread this Vedic knowledge. And one person was there actually, he actually is a vanprastha. But he lives in the same village where his two sons are living, but he is staying separate from them. He is staying in a different home. And he practices his own life by bhikshavritti. But not only just bhikshavritti, he says, I first make sure that I give knowledge to everybody, I teach free of, I just teach this knowledge without expectation. Then I go for my bhiksha, and then I go to work in the farm, in the field, shram. At 65, 70, this person goes to work in the fields. He says, one cannot discount the importance of karma. One cannot just take jnana and be satisfied with jnana, that I have got jnana, I am distributing jnana. Karma is very, very important. Therefore, Krishna also rejuvenates Arjuna's jnanic tendency, which results in inaction. And therefore Krishna urges Arjun to avoid sin by not acting. So nice, 70 year old someone is saying that I still go to work in the field just because I have to work. I have to expend my energy. This is the way I actually live. So 60% of the people speak Sanskrit there. There are places, the whole village is made into vastu, in typical format, and there are this if you see their homes, they look like rundown homes, they can just collapse anytime. But in that poverty, in that daridrata, there is so much santushti. I was just talking to some of them, and they were talking that sometimes daridra is compared to asantushti, and someone who is poor thinks that envy is the rich. I don't have that. But here in daridrata is self-imposed poverty, and they stay there and they just dedicate to teaching and learning of Vedas, and they will, all of them, it is said in all the varnashram, everybody can do farming. Krishi everybody has to do. Why? Because Anna. Therefore Anna Brahma. It is so important. It is actually Yajna. And one Brahman was informing that there is, every day he does Panch Yajna. Bhuta Yajna he does by feeding all the animals. Brahma Yajna by reading the Vedas every day regularly. Nri Yajna by actually helping anybody coming there around the way. Pitri Yajna and Deva Yajna, performing Ahuti. Every day they do this Yajna, Panch Maha Yajna. So this is how actually everybody does their duty. The Brahmanas do their duty. They live in poverty but in santushti. So important. And there is a living civilization. There is a separate place for Brahmanas. The Vaishyas live separately, the farmers. And if you ever go there and ask them, they will ask you which Varna you are from. If you want to make bhojan, if you ask them to make bhojan, they will ask you which Varna you are from. Accordingly, they will make food for you. Even to eat, there is science. Even there is eat, there is food for everyone which is designated. So generally, when we are asked what is our Varna, we only land up answering that we are Vaishnav, because we do not know our Varna. But actually, everything is so scientific living standard. A Brahmana lives in this way, a Vaishya lives this way, and everybody knows they live that way, and they respect each other. How much understanding, and the most peaceful village where everybody is busy in actually protecting Dharma, either way. So here, Yudhishthir Maharaj, the third test was actually when they got the news of Krishna departing. And then Maharaj Yudhishthir, along with all the Pandavas along with Draupadi, actually go towards the Himalayas, first going down south to Dwarka and then going from there, performing all the Shraddha ceremonies of, even Yudhishthir Maharaj has performed Shraddha of Krishna, Balram and all the Yadus. Supreme Personality of Godhead ka Shraddha Pandavon ne banaya, sab kiya. That means how much, knowing that is Krishna, knowing that is Supreme Personality of Godhead, still they have not refrained from even doing that naimitik karma. So then the dog follows them right from Hastinapur, and one by one all of them fall on the way. So Bhim is asking why Draupadi fell, because she was ultimately partial to Arjun. Why did Sahadeva fall? Because he was thinking he is very wise and intelligent. Why did Nakul fall? Because he was having the view that he is the most handsome person. Arjun fell. Why? Because he had taken a vow that in one day I will destroy all the enemies. In one day I will demolish them. And therefore he could not live up to his vow. Ultimately Bhim fell. And while falling, Yudhishthira Maharaj said that because he was so gluttonous, while eating you did not think about the share of others. Therefore you fell down. The dog continued to follow. Ultimately when Yudhishthira Maharaj reached forward, they saw Indra, and Indra said, you are welcome to heaven, and just you have actually entered the heaven in your self same body, you are so glorious. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was told that please let this dog accompany with me to heaven. Indra said, dogs are the most inauspicious beings, they cannot come with you. He said, it is even more sinful than the act of killing Brahmana than to leave someone who is dependent on you for such a long time. So I have to, but what about your own relatives, your own brothers and your own wife? He said, when they are dead, then gone, cannot do anything. But for the living one who is following, has to be given shelter. So Dharma, Yamaraj appears and actually gives that you have passed the second test. The first test was in Dvaitavan. The third test, the second test was in the way to heavens. And then he said, this is how one actually keeps the promise that he is accountable to so many people without being made accountable. So impeccable is the character of Yudhishthira Maharaj. And that's how when they go forward, he said he shown all the way to path to heavens, because he actually went to the heavens and saw Duryodhan and Dushasan and all of them, and he felt so much hatred. He said, why are these here and my brothers not here? So I want to go where my brothers are. So he's shown the path to hell, boiling pot of oil, flowing rivers which are boiling. There are trees which are razored shaped, leaves. There is corpses, smelling intestines, just pulled out of their bodies, all lying across, smelly, foul smelling, and all of that. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is feeling nauseating. He is just feeling unconscious until he hears some cries, and they are the cries of "I am Karna, I am Drona, I am Bhishma, I am Draupad, we are the Draupadi sons." All of them cry and say, please stay here, by your presence here, we are feeling relieved. As I explained, Sarva Bhuta Hite Rataha is the breadth of the root and the depth is the purity. And here Yudhishthira Maharaj, with his strict following, he also has that Sarva Bhuta Hite Rataha quality. And that's how the tree actually gives shelter. And this is why Yudhishthira Maharaj actually passes the third test, where he stays where these people are and remains, or rather agrees to be there. So this is where also we find that even for a moment, what is for a moment not forgetting Krishna? For a moment not forgetting one's duty is to not remember, is to remember Krishna. Anukulyasa sankalpa, pratikulyasa varjanam. Both are required. Sankalpa and varjanam. Both are required, and therefore it is said that the following the path of dharma means taking up that is favorable and rejecting what is unfavorable. And here Yudhishthira Maharaj was rejecting very clearly the heavens without accountability, the comfort without companionship of their beloved ones. So here we find that one is willing to go all sacrifice only when one is situated in the total concept of the dharma, which defines which is defined by two things, depth and breadth. And just a small pastime also explains in the Sri Sampradaya, one of the acharyas is that of Vipra Narayan, who was worshipping so nicely. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that even if my devotees want to enjoy that poison, I will forcibly feed that nectar to him. So Vipra Narayan was a devotee who was actually making garlands of flowers. He is the incarnation of the garlands decorating Ranganath. So Deva Devi was a prostitute who wanted to deviate the devotion of Vipra Narayan. So she came and came in a disguise of a rishi, and Vipra Narayan gave shelter. I want to serve Ranganath. So he gave the shelter, and then when he actually was making those garlands and singing, he was attracted by the feminine gestures of Deva Devi. So much so that he forgot his duties, and Deva Devi left Vipra Narayan, and then he was trying to beg her to come back. Is when Ranganath Swami sent a plate of gold, his own plate of gold, to Deva Devi's house, saying that it is brought by servant of Vipra Narayan. And then the king came to know, and when the king came to know that, he actually arrested both of them. And in the dream, the Ranganath Swami related the whole story, that how he actually came to the rescue of this Vipra Narayan, and he brought him back to his shelter. Even though he forgot him, it is said that Krishna is saying that name bhakta pranashyati. Similar is the pastime of Jagannath's servant. Actually, in Delhi, there was a tailor called Parameshti who actually wanted to make the king give him good silk and cotton to make pillows. But seeing that beautiful silk and the cotton, he felt that he wanted to offer that for Jagannath's pillows, which are tulis, which are actually used during Pahandi ceremony. So instead of making pillows for the king, he made the pillows for Jagannath and mentally offered them, and he actually reached them and the pillows were missing. The king punished him for not giving him the pillows and imprisoned him, threatening him to putting death by the elephant. But actually Jagannath ji comes in the dream of the king, the Muslim king, and actually forces him and makes him aware that this is my devotee and you should release this devotee immediately. So for a devotee to see everything connected to Krishna, everything in the interest of everybody, everything as a duty, is actually to not forget Krishna even for a moment. And when one lives a life full of duty, accountability and responsibility, one becomes fully contented, santushti. That dharma, that santushti is dharma. That contentment is described as the happiness, and that happiness is spiritual. And therefore this is a nice explanation that even a devotee cannot even forget for a moment, and this is how a devotee does not forget for a moment: by passing all the tests, the four tests of Yudhishthira Maharaj, the Akshaya Patra, the Dvaitavan episode, the episode of the dog, and for an insignificant dog, Shivananda Sen also does that same service, and ultimately not leaving one's companions for the sake of some comfort. Such a fantastic four tests of Yudhishthira Maharaj explain how he never forgot Krishna even for a moment in his duty. In that duty, in that responsibility, and in that service, Sarva Bhuta Hite Ratha, the tree of that dharma will actually nourish all the living beings and shelter all the travelers, all the birds. The fruits will give ripened juice and nectar to all those who are eager to taste the birds. The birds of sadhakas who come to take the shelter on the tree. So that is so wonderful. And this is how Nimi Maharaj explains the character of such a best of Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. Vritra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.